Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into the Love Doors Podcast. Derek Kramer, Frank Arcuri, and you know, there was a thing that happened and then it didn't happen. Unlike this podcast, it happens no matter what anyone wants to do. Obviously, I'm referencing Antonio Brown not wanting to go ahead and be a Bill and then basically strong-arming his way to go to the Raiders. Frank?
Yeah? It almost happens.
I don't like to generally criticize a player's motives. But he went to the Raiders with John Gruden.
So
he went to the dumpster fire Raiders that are in Oakland.
For now.
For another year. Maybe two.
So that gives me two reasons why he went to Oakland.
Money and Vegas?
Yes.
Vegas and money.
Yes.
Not
because they go very well together.
That is true. That is true.
So
once you go to Nevada, once you go to Nevada, by the way, all that money is tax free.
What that tells me is Brown wanted to go to a team that would restructure his contract so he could get more money.
I feel like the Bills would have backed up the Brinks truck anyway.
But if
this is about location for him. This is absolutely about location.
I don't know if the Bills were going to restructure his contract or do it to make him one of the highest paid receivers in the league. Or the highest.
They had the money to throw.
They had the money, but were they willing to do it?
They would have done it. If you're trading for the man, you would have. They were starting to talk with Brown and Rosenhaus, and the two of them just sabotaged the whole thing. This is location for him.
I'm feeling it's both.
I feel like it's one thing and one thing only.
And if it's probably that.
So guess what? You know what this means? Well, Antonio Brown, maybe you are just in for a rough one because you ended up going to the Raiders. John Gruden's your coach. He's done great with diva receivers in the past, like Keyshawn Johnson. So you have fun with that. I mean, he's going to have 20 million reasons per year or whatever to care about it or not care about it. So
now,
all the power to you, I guess.
So now because Rappaport was the one who broke that Thursday night.
By the way, poor Ian Rappaport.
Yeah.
Because everything did go down.
No, he was definitely correct.
And then the receiver decided to tank the entire thing.
Yeah.
And now every time he reports something,
people are going to be like, I don't believe you.
No, not even that. People are doing it.
Oh, I know.
Because
Rappaport just tweeted another Bills thing.
When you go ahead and look at a comment on anything Rappaport breaks right now, 50% of it is, are you sure? And yes, you just mentioned that. And there it is, the first comment. I don't believe you. The Bills expected to land free agent Kevin Johnson. The cornerback visited with the Bills earlier this week. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure that he's going to really have a problem there. But poor Rappaport is getting dunked on again in the comments. Let's wait for Schefter to confirm it.
Yeah.
Are you sure about this? I don't believe you. Like, Rappaport's getting destroyed right now, and it's not his fault because...
No, he's reporting what he's being told.
He's reporting what was told to him by a source that was apparently a little overexcited from Pittsburgh that there was going to be a deal done.
Yeah.
And then Brown goes ahead and sabotages the deal, and the Bills go, you know what? This isn't worth it. First off, good for you, Brandon Bean, for having at least some form of standards here on acquiring Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
That if he wasn't going to come here, you were just like, okay, you know what? Cool. Then we don't want you.
Yep.
So, Kevin Johnson would be actually pretty interesting for this team. I mean, everyone would argue the first thing, like, oh, the Bills don't need corners. Levi Wallace did great. Levi Wallace did great for a part of the season as the starting corner. There was a rotation there. After a certain player decided to quit on the team at halftime, they had a rotation of corners throughout the season opposite of Tre'Davious White. Levi Wallace was the one that managed to stick, but competition is good.
That's what this signing is. Okay, Johnson's a good cornerback, and now you're implementing more competition with him and Levi Wallace, and you still got Taron Johnson as well.
Yeah, Taron Johnson in the slot, still a solid player.
Yeah, like it's very possible that, and it's very likely those are your four cornerbacks going into next year. Your secondary essentially stays mostly intact because you're still going to have Poyer, Hyde, and Saran Neal and Raphael Bush.
Yeah, secondary is still very solid.
Is still very good.
And honestly, I would like to say that the Bills' defense, if you can get some more depth to it, all right, even better.
And I think that's what they're looking at.
And this isn't going to be a big money deal. Like, Kevin Johnson was released based on health issues, so there's going to be a lot of incentives probably to this contract.
Yeah.
And that would allow the Bills to focus a little bit less on needing to get a corner in the draft. Because I thought that they would target one in the draft in the middle of the draft, like somewhere in the middle rounds, 4 to 6, something like that.
Now they don't have to.
Now they don't have to do that. And, I mean, granted, they are a best player available kind of team. They don't really give a damn what the position is.
Mm-hmm.
So you might see them still draft a corner. Don't get mad.
Now the chances of it are probably lower, though.
I wouldn't say that they're necessarily lower. I'm saying now they don't have to look into it.
Yeah.
Because they're addressing the depth.
It does make a little more the likely of them probably drafting a linebacker or a defensive lineman. A little bit more, because they're going to look into that a little bit more, along with obviously what they're going to do on offense.
Yeah, and again, it's just one of those things, though, where, you know, I would like to see what happens there. All right, here's some other free agency links, by the way, that the Bills are in on. In addition to probably signing Kevin Johnson, or likely signing Kevin Johnson, the former Texans cornerback and former 2015 first-rounder. Jason Lockonfour reports that the Bills are in on former Chargers receiver Tyrell Williams. And the big doozy of them all, Frank, you can't have a Sean McDermott Bills team without an aging running back. Frank Gore is linked to the Bills.
Fantastic.
Frank Gore. And
fantastic.
Year one of McDermott, it was Tolbert. Year two, it's Chris Ivory. Year three, it's Ivory and Frank Gore. I didn't know that running back was the position that you could actually be old at. If that was the case, why did Doug Whaley cut Fred Jackson all those years ago? Because, man, who doesn't like Fred Jackson?
Yeah.
So, Frank Gore is a weird one to me, I think. I mean, your three running backs on your depth chart would be LeSean McCoy, Chris Ivory, and Frank Gore. What the hell are you doing over there? I get that the running back position is devalued, but it's not that devalued, man. You can't have age be the superstar in your backfield. Three running backs over the age of 30, that would be kind of stupid, I think. You need some speed there. McCoy is not the fastest guy in the world, but he's easily the fastest one of the three. Ivory's a bruiser. Gore is old. Gore's older than Ivory old. And Frank Gore, Hall of Fame career. I said it. Very underappreciated career Frank Gore has had. That does not mean that the Bills should be in on him when your other running backs are also on the other side of 30. It's kind of stupid.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that. I'd rather see them draft a guy.
Yeah, I'd rather see them draft a running back, you know, mid to late rounds.
Yeah.
Try to get some value there. And I just see free agency in Frank Gore, and I'm just like, no, dude.
Yeah.
No, that's not it. Like,
this ain't it, Chief.
I mean, it's not like running back is a bevy of great talent here, but I think I'd rather have... Oh, God, I'm actually looking at the free agency list of running backs, and maybe if you're going to have to sign one, like, gun to the head... You have to sign a free agent running back, or else I would say Tevin Coleman or Mark Ingram, but neither of them are speed guys. Because other than that, here's the rest of the list. Jay Ajayi, I'm skipping Le'Veon Bell, obviously. Jay Ajayi, TJ Yeldon, CJ Anderson, Marshawn Lynch, who's probably retiring again, Spencer Ware, Mike Davis, Javorius Allen, Bilal Powell, Latavius Murray, Doug Martin, Alex Collins, Jeremy Hill, LeGarrette Blount, and Darren Sproles. A lot of those guys are older running backs that I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty gross. Adrian Peterson's also supposedly available, but I think he's re-signing in Washington.
Yeah, I think running back is one where... You want to
draft
up.
A guy.
Yeah.
Draft a guy. Find someone. I mean, obviously, we're going to have to wait for that sort of thing. And maybe you're just bringing in more competition to see if Ivory or Gore ends up getting cut as the backup. And then you add a third guy
through the draft
on your depth chart through the draft.
Maybe.
That's my best theory on it.
We'll see. We'll see. It's the tampering period right now. So I don't, what, none of these, what is it? None of these will be official until like Thursday?
Wednesday. Wednesday is the first day of free agency. So there it is. I'm interested to see what happens here. I mean, the big thing for the Bills is offensive linemen. Trent Brown, the offensive tackle for the Patriots, is the first one off in the legal tampering period with the Raiders throwing money around at Trent Brown. After throwing money at Antonio Brown.
Good for them.
A lot of people from New England are saying, like a lot of fans and like national media are like, oh, did they bring Patriots offensive line coach Dante Scarnecchia with them? So they're wondering, there's a lot of people saying that the money that Trent Brown just got, was a product of the team. Which would be interesting to see. The Bills,
which
though,
probably is true, because the Raiders, their offensive line coach I've seen has been like the last 3 years. Whoever the offensive line that he's coached has been ranked near the bottom. The last 3 years. And obviously, we see how well the Patriots' offensive line has been the last number of years. Forever, it seems. So I think that's a good point. You know, you do find talent. You know, in any position in football, you'll find someone who could be good at no matter what team they're on. But more often than not. You know, especially on like an offensive line, they're a product of the system, of the coaches that they're on, that they play under, and their quarterback too. That helps. Like the Patriots' offensive line only really needs to be good for 5 seconds per play, because Brady gets the ball out so quickly. If they don't mess up right away. The play's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're probably not going to see that in Oakland.
Yeah, but the Bills, though, are reportedly linked to trying to go after Carolina offensive tackle Darrell Williams, as well as Denver center Matt Paradis. Those are the two players that they've been linked to on the offensive line. And those two are going to command a lot of money. Those two are going to command a lot of attention. I do not expect anything to be agreed to for those two players until probably Wednesday. Like, players and teams can agree to deals now, I'm not going to sense that Paradis and Williams will get an agreement done until about Wednesday. But I'd love to see what the Bills can do here. Trey Flowers, the defensive end pass rusher from New England. He's actually been linked to talking to the Bills.
Yes.
Trey Flowers is an interesting player to me. I think he's going to get very overpaid this free agency. I think that he's going to get a lot more money than he is worth, and that generally happens in free agency, but I think he's going to be one of those guys where it might be noticeable based on the position. Pass rushers tend to get a lot more money than they're worth, and to live up to the first couple of years of that contract, let alone the entirety of the contract, is kind of tough. See the Bills with Mario Williams, for example, in the past. Jerry Hughes has done a great job remaining consistent throughout, which, you know, kind of allows you to appreciate the kind of player Jerry Hughes has been. Did he have an off year last year? Well, who else are they blocking on the pass rush? They're triple teaming Jerry Hughes at this point. Every game you get the trademark Jerry Hughes one arm flail because he's getting held like no tomorrow and they're not throwing the flag. It happens every game. Yep. Man's trying, and he's just like swinging one arm, and he's just like, get off of me! And then the next thing you know, he's around the quarterback, and he's screaming for a flag, and so is every other Bills fan in the world. But I would like to see what happens here. I think that they can...
Do you want to see the Bills target a edge rusher?
Yes, they need one.
If they sign Trey Flowers, and let's say he gets close to what the number it sounds like, which I read is, I believe, like $18 million, do the Bills cut a guy or trade one they have now?
You're referencing Shaq Lawson.
Yes. It might be him... I wouldn't even rule out Jerry Hughes.
No. I don't think they cut their most valuable pass rusher.
I would also arguably look to trade him.
If they're going to look to trade someone, I think Shaq Lawson's the target. He's got a little more value as a younger player and would be someone that possibly could be a guy who ends up with a chance at a second city. Because Jerry Hughes... and his contract, not the worst thing here for the Bills.
No.
He's got an average salary of $9
million. That's pretty good.
For the production Jerry Hughes gives you, that's actually pretty good.
Yeah, that's a pretty good contract. Okay, yeah, definitely. So Shaq Lawson is number one for me, definitely.
Yeah, Shaq Lawson would probably be your trade target.
The Bills also need to look for another D-tackle.
That I honestly think will happen in the draft.
I can see that.
Honestly, at pick 9, if they get a player that is... By the way, Jerry Hughes is in the last year of his deal. His cap hit is 10.4 for this season.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good.
I wouldn't even bother cutting him at this point.
No, you don't even have to.
Yeah. You would save $8 million or close to it. It would be $7,500,000. So $7.5 million you would save by cutting Jerry Hughes. But is that really worth it? For an unknown commodity? No. Trent Murphy is probably your bigger contract worry.
Even then, you don't really have to... He only did sign a 3-year deal, so it's not terrible. So he's entering year 2 of that. It's not the worst. And I think it was 3 years, $21 million, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so $7 million a year. It's not terrible.
Yeah, I mean, the Bills are going to, look, they're going to spend money on defensive players. It's going to happen.
They have $75 million in cap space.
Yeah, whatever. It's going to happen. Don't be pissed. Because they're also going to spend it on offensive players. They're going to spend it on offensive linemen. They're going to try to sign a wide receiver. And hopefully not get burnt by it. But, I mean, honestly, pick nine, you might see a pass rusher or a defensive tackle there. Why? Because that's going to be the best player available at nine.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you that.
Now, there is still, we talk about the Bills needing to get a receiver as well. They tried with Antonio Brown. It was this close to being done, and I'm putting my finger and my thumb really close together. That close to being a done deal. Even though Brown nixed the trade and messed it up, do you think the Bills put in a call to the Giants?
About Odell Beckham.
For Odell Beckham. Because it seems like the Giants are also looking to move him as well. Or at least they're taking calls.
If the Giants are going to move Odell Beckham, then they're dumber than I thought.
So take it. So if you're the Bills, you're calling.
I think there's a difference here. I think the Bills tried to pounce on Brown because there was a value like no other.
Yeah.
You weren't going to have to trade a first to get Antonio Brown. What are you going to have to trade to get Odell Beckham? Who didn't quit on his team in week 17. He's been a bit of a headache.
Yeah, but I think a lot of it comes down to his passion for the game. He wants to win.
Again, I think though that this, if you were in on Antonio Brown, I would imagine the Bills are in on
Odell Beckham.
Poking their heads inside the door.
I think that's why I say like it's worth calling the Giants and seeing what the price is.
Yeah.
And I mean, Brown got traded for a third and a fifth.
I mean, the Bills had this conversation with the Steelers on a Tuesday. And then,
yep,
we're looking at Thursday night into Friday morning, and things have ramped up to a deal that is imminent almost.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'd imagine the Bills will have conversations. I think that they will have talks. And I also think that ultimately, in the end, they might find it too pricey to get Odell Beckham.
It may very well be, and that may
because
well be
the price
case.
Will be higher on Odell Beckham.
And that's my question is how much higher will it be, or could it be, and how much could you negotiate with the Giants? Because we don't know what the Giants' asking price for Odell Beckham is. I mean, there was the talks of Pittsburgh wanted, what, a first-round pick for Brown? And they ultimately settled for a third and a fifth.
Yeah.
So it really all depends on negotiating, too. If talks do get... And then it still comes down to if Odell Beckham wants to come to Buffalo.
I think that one would be a little different.
True, but you still have to have that discussion.
Honestly, Odell Beckham and his antics, I personally think, have nothing on Antonio Brown at this point.
No, they don't. No.
So I don't think Odell Beckham would go ahead and say, you know what I think Odell Beckham would say? Oh, my quarterback's not Eli Manning? Sweet. I think that's what he would end up with.
Probably.
Yeah. So this is just one of those things where, like, it's different for a guy like Antonio Brown who's had Ben Roethlisberger for his whole life.
Yeah.
In the NFL. Whereas Odell Beckham got a declining Eli Manning.
Yeah.
I would think Odell Beckham would be fine with Josh Allen.
You're the Bills and you want to trade for Odell Beckham. All for pick nine straight up.
Oh my God, yes.
It might be enough. Because you could convince the Giants, because we're the Giants picking. Like, they're in the top five. Where are the Giants picking, by the way?
I think they're, oof, I don't remember.
Yeah, it's in the top five.
Yeah, because they were absolute trash this whole year.
It might be 5 or 6. Five or six. I don't remember which one it is.
I'm looking at it right now.
Okay.
But yeah, no, the Giants.
And then you give them pick 9. They'll have 2 picks in the top 10. You
which
convince
I'm
them
sure
that
they'd
they can.
Be okay with.
Which they would, yeah.
Yeah, I think they'd be fine
pick
with
9,
that sort of thing.
Yeah, pick 9 might be enough to get it done. And if the Bills want to pursue that, they could. But that's what I think. Like, the Giants are taking calls on Odell, and the Bills are going to call and see. They're gonna do their.
By the way, Bean's the Giants are outside of the top 5. They are picking 6.
So they're 6. Still. So you could give them a nice first round.
Yeah. You could give them that. You're such a child.
I know.
What am I saying? Who am I to criticize you?
I know, right?
So, I think, though, that this free agency period is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued to see what they do with all this money. Because they want to be able to spend smart. That's something that they've preached.
Yes.
But at the same time, they're going to go after some big ticket items here, I hope, with the offensive line in particular. I think if they go offensive line heavy in this free agency, they get a Paradis and they get a Darrell Williams, for example. Say they land both of those tickets. The team no longer has to stress about it in the draft. And at pick 9, you're probably going with the best player available. I'm going to be on my knees praying to the football gods that DK Metcalf falls to you at 9. But if he doesn't, oh well. Happens.
You get the best player available. Could be Noah Font.
And I'd be cool with that.
I'd be very cool with that too, yeah. Could be any one of the D tackles available.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of options that you have now at pick 9, which is actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about a certain position. I don't have to worry about anything like that. By the way, it's Jeff Howe reporting the latest on this as well.
Yeah.
That the Giants are in trade discussions with Odell Beckham Jr. I don't understand why. But if the Bills were in or were willing, I should say. And they were in on Antonio Brown. I have to say it right. If the Bills were in on Antonio Brown, they have to at least do their due diligence, and I suspect that they will. I just don't know if they will give up. When you're talking about the draft capital of landing a young wide receiver like this, because Antonio Brown also was in his 30s.
Yeah, he's 31.
Is not.
Beckham is 27.
No, I think 26? He's younger than that.
Well, he was 2014. He was a 2014 draft.
He's 26.
26. So he's going to be 27.
But still, there's
that's still pretty
several
young.
Years of an age difference.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That would be interesting. Like, I'd be interested to see what the Bills' conversations would sound like there with the Giants. I'm not expecting to land him. Just like how nobody saw the AB trade talks even happening. Nobody saw that coming.
Yeah, no one saw that coming, but you expect at least due diligence.
Yeah, I expect that they will do something here. By the way, the Raiders.
Yeah.
Here's the contract details on Trent Brown. They're 4 years, $66 million. That's probably your target for a free agent offensive tackle.
That's the highest in NFL history for a lineman.
I don't think Darrell Williams gets that. He's coming off of a knee injury.
No.
Which means the Bills could be in on a bargain here.
Yeah.
Matt Paradis, there's rumors that he might get $11 million a year. Are you cool with that for a center?
For 4 years? At 44, yeah. You need that kind of, and you need that kind of player for Josh Allen. That's worth it. That's worth it for your quarterback.
Yes. We'll see what happens.
Because I really think that the most making sure everything is good on defense is very important too, and you want to get it. They need to get a couple receivers. The most important thing for the Bills this offseason is shoring up that offensive line to protect Allen.
Yeah.
Because the more that Allen is protected, you don't have to have the big talent at receiver. If Allen is making progressions, the numbers will be there. And it will be a product because he has protection and he can throw the ball.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to do here. And it's going to be interesting starting on Wednesday when everything can officially go through. All the trades that have been reported throughout the offseason now officially go through.
Yeah.
Joe Flacco will go to Denver. Baltimore will have to have made that trade. There are there's names that are going to shuffle. The Antonio Brown trade will become official on Wednesday.
Case Keenum trade will become
official. Case Keenum, that's right. I forgot about Washington. Yeah, Case Keenum to Washington. Has anyone? No, I cannot. What? I already know the answer.
What's
I was
going
to say, has anyone ever done more with less? And then, no, that answer absolutely is Sam Bradford, who should be going to Denver because Denver doesn't know what they're doing with their quarterbacks. I'm interested to see what happens here. I like what the Bills are doing so far. They're looking at a big-time pass rusher. They are signing a depth corner.
Yep.
Who can sign before free agency because he was released by the Texans. Kevin Johnson can sign with them as soon as today. As soon as it becomes official. I want to see what they do about attacking the offensive line. I want to see what they do about attacking the wide receiver position. I don't think it's Odell Beckham, but I do think that it's going to be something.
Do you think it's... I think it's very possible. You're probably going to see a mix for offensive line and receiver.
I honestly don't know.
You're
going to
get
gonna go...
the experience. If you're, they're going to go for...
Receiver, here's what I think they're going to do in free agency. They're going to go after Tyrell Williams. If the price point's too much, they're going to back out. And I'm more than okay with that.
Yeah.
Tyrell Williams is possibly going to get wide receiver one money, and he shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest mistakes of this regime, or of this team, I should say, I don't know if this was a Bean McDermott decision, but letting Robert Woods walk.
That...
I mean, he wanted to play at home in L.A., so I don't know how much of that was really going to play a factor.
That was McDermott.
Yeah.
Just McDermott. Because
that was
that
without
was,
Bean yet.
Bean wasn't here yet.
Whaley was still the general manager.
Still GM, yeah.
I also think their biggest mistake was misusing Robert Woods.
Oh, my God, yeah.
He's a blocking receiver.
Really?
Nah. Hines Ward was a blocking receiver, too, but he was also a really damn good receiver. Use that. And the Rams were like, yo, this guy's actually a really good receiver. They made you do what? All the time? No, let's actually let you get some passes and stuff. So, I think that free agency, they're not going to go crazy on wide receiver. I think that if they're going to swing big at something, it'll be at the draft.
Yeah, I could see that.
And I expect the wide receiver to be in one of their first three picks.
Do you think what's the possibilities of them trading down from 9? Like very high, you think?
Not very high.
Not very high?
I do think, though, that with more about Kyler Murray being a top 5 pick at this point, it helps. Because if it's Murray and Haskins, there are going to be conversations. And there might be conversations about Drew Lock. And if a team needs to vault, say, Denver to get to Drew Lock, that's where Buffalo comes in.
Yeah.
I honestly think Drew Lock is not a first-round pick. But if a team does, the Bills could take advantage.
That's what I'm thinking. And also at the same time, we've seen them do this before where they will trade down with the team to trade up to get a quarterback and then use picks they get and the extra picks that they have already to trade back up when they need to.
If they can get a trade down, that would be interesting. At the same time, though, there is top-end talent that's going to be there at 9. And I doubt that this is the regime that will pass that up.
Yeah, that's true, too.
They've been known to go after top-end talent. They liked Josh Allen. They went after him.
Yep.
They liked Tremaine Edmonds as a top-end talent. Dude should have been a top-10 pick. They went after him. There's going to be a player that falls into their lap this year. And I think that the most realistic trade down scenario involves like 3 or 4 picks. I think the most realistic scenario is you might do a deal with Miami. The Dolphins want a young quarterback. They need to get in front of Denver. And you trade down 5 picks. Excuse me, 4 picks from 9 to 13.
I can see that.
That's your most realistic scenario, I think. Your second most realistic scenario is that there is a player that another team just wants, and say it's like a Brian Burns or a maybe even like an Ed Oliver. One of those big-name defensive lineman falls, and a team just really wants that pass rusher. The Bills will go, okay, I've got options if I move down a couple of picks. Atlanta could look at a pass rusher. There's something going on there with Tack McKinley. I think that if Atlanta, for example, wants a pass rusher, the Bills can go ahead and trade down to 14. They wouldn't have a problem with that. They could probably get the player that they still want at 14. There's a lot of options, and I'm excited for the draft. But their options also have to start with free agency. What can you take care of now? And can you do it in a smart way?
Yeah, it's going to be huge.
You know what else is huge? The fact that we have to watch 2 games without Jack Eichel.
What a segue. That segue was huge.
I'd give it a C. Much like how I have to see this team without Jack Eichel.
Two games!
Was it the right call? Yes.
I think so.
That is a textbook hit. Connor McDavid got hit with the same kind of suspension.
Yeah.
On a similar type of hit.
Obviously, there's always problems that come with it. People don't think it's worthy of 2 games. Eichel himself said it. He doesn't think it's worthy of 2 games. I think 2 games is fair. The problem is that NHL does a terrible job setting precedent anyway.
This one they got right,
though. So it always looks.
It always looks bad because you see Lumberjack Radko Gudas get away with dumb things half the time.
Malkin swung his stick at a player and got 1 game, even though he didn't hit him. On Michael Raffo, the Flyers.
Yep.
He swung his stick right like near his face. He didn't hit him, but he got 1 game for it.
And he attempted to hit him.
Yeah.
He even said basically as much.
Yeah. So I think 2 games makes sense.
I'm a little surprised that
player safety didn't look at the Zadorov hit on Eichel. I think that was just more of the refs took care of it making it an interference call or whatever they called it.
Should they, for example, have called a double minor on that? Probably. What gets the NHL Department of Player Safety's attention, though, is what was called. One was called roughing.
Yeah.
The other was called an illegal check to the head.
Yeah.
That gets the Department of Player Safety's attention every time. You're going to have a conversation with them if you get that penalty called. And does he hit him in the head? Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
There's a lot of different ways Eichel could attack that, I think. And what he did was he tried to be sly about it and try to get the hit. Obviously, I don't think he tried to hit him in the head. He just wanted to hit somebody. I think he was pissed that game.
Yep.
He was pissed. He wanted to hit someone and get the puck at the same time. Tried to do both. Didn't get both. He didn't get a clean check in.
Yeah.
And therefore, when he got the puck, he didn't have the puck either because the play is dead. Now what is the question?
You go, yes, is it two games?
Alex Nylander gets called up.
He does.
Goals in four straight games in Rochester. Mm-hmm. Since he has turned 21, he has a goal every game. Who'd have thought? Chris Baker joked that becoming 21, being able
to get a couple of
wobbly pops is sometimes the most helpful thing you can get. So,
and immediately is put on a line of practice today with Connor Sherry and Evan Rodriguez.
The lines are interesting.
It's doing what you have to.
Yet there is still something wrong. Why is Casey Nelson off the pairings? Why is Casey Nelson an extra skater? Because he's a right-handed shot, that's why.
Yeah.
And I'm sure. Getting pissed about that. Play your best players. That's it for me. Play your best players, and that's not happening.
It doesn't surprise me. We saw it, obviously, that Halsey will do it. As we have Montour Bregosian was a pairing against Chicago. But at the same time, a lot of coaches do that though, where they want the lefty righty. A lot. It's more than you think.
I understand that, but my problem is this. One of your best defenders is not in.
I know.
And I have a serious issue with that. I am interested to see what Mittelstadt can do with Skinner.
Yes.
Skinner and Pominville,
I like that. I like that.
You know,
I'm fine with that.
Now he takes Reinhardt off the top line.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
When you need him there. Oh, my God. Oh, and the metrics say that Casey Mittelstadt plays well with Sam Reinhardt, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You were talking about this on a past podcast. I remember this.
I know.
And guess where they're not putting him?
But now with that.
I'm saying they.
Yeah, Housley I know.
Is not putting him.
I think the biggest thing with that is Housley probably had to make a decision. Do I put him with Sam Reinhardt or do I put him with Jeff Skinner?
The way that your second line has been producing lately, by the way, with Rodriguez and with Sherry, and now you've got Nylander on there, it's intriguing.
Yeah.
The second line's been decent.
Yeah.
I just find it weird that you pick now to take Reinhardt off the top line.
Oh, of course. That's always how – yeah, of course.
When but Mittelstadt I think he plays best with.
I think that was what it became. I have to split up Skinner or Reinhardt just to get something going without my captain.
Honestly,
put Mittelstadt with Reinhardt and put somebody on the left side, or do I put him with Skinner?
Honestly, here's what I think you should do. You should have Reinhardt there with Skinner and Mittelstadt, because here's your problem. As good as Jeff Skinner's been, he doesn't drive the offense. Casey Mittelstadt does not drive the offense. Jason Pominville does not drive the offense on the line. Sam Reinhardt has shown, without being on the top line, that he can drive a line. Light bulb. Right there.
Do you think...
Why am I criticizing it? Because it's going to take 10 minutes into the first period for it to switch anyway.
Probably. Maybe this is Housley's way of trying to get Mittelstadt to be able to drive a line.
But the top line? You think that's going
to... You have to put him somewhere. You have to do something.
Yes,
your captain's out for the next... Your captain's not playing the next two games.
You've
got to do
something. I also think that Jason Pominville is not the other wing that he should have. I think it's the guy who the numbers say he's played pretty well with.
I think so.
Is this Phil Housley's way of saying Vlad Saboka scored a goal two games ago? Let's give him Reinhardt.
Do you want Vlad Saboka with Pominville and Skinner?
No.
Exactly.
So it could be worse.
Yeah. I mean, yes, Vlad Saboka is with Sam Reinhardt now and Tage Thompson.
It's because he scored a goal.
And if we're talking about Reinhardt driving a line, he's going to drive Tage Thompson. That's all. Not Saboka. It's going to be Reinhardt Thompson.
Who, by the way, had a pretty underrated assist on Saboka's goal in Chicago.
Nice little cheesy pass, yeah.
Nice little tuck and gets it right to the stick of Saboka, who even he couldn't screw that up. Gergensen's would have, but I digress.
Gergensen's also scratched.
Good. I think I have to talk about this. I have an irrational hatred for Zemgus Girgensons at this point.
I know you do. I know you do.
I feel like it, but it needs to be addressed here. Because you were watching the game with me, the Blackhawks game, and I am cursing up a storm every time Zemgus Girgensons has the puck.
Yeah.
Because it's a turnover. I'm genuinely shocked if there's an offensive chance when he's on the ice. More shocked than Vladimir Saboka. This man was a first-round pick.
Yeah.
Darcy, this is why you didn't do well enough to have your job.
So does your hate...
Because you sucked in the first round.
So bad in the first round. Let me ask you this. Does your hatred for Gergensons come because he was a first-round pick and he had high hopes?
Kind of. But at the same time, it's like, dude,
like,
do
let's
something.
Say Gergensen's was a fourth round pick and he becomes what he is right now. Do you still hate him?
Probably. Because I shouldn't have to be able to relate to a professional hockey player.
That's fair, too.
I cannot tell you how many grade A chances, especially last year when he was on the line with Eichel, that this man continues to whiff on. He falls over repeatedly while skating. I should not be able to relate to that as a hockey player.
As
someone who whiffs on shots and falls over a lot.
I don't see that.
I should not be able to relate to someone who gets paid to do it.
I don't see the Sabres re-signing him this offseason. He's an RFA.
But he should just be able to walk.
They can let him walk.
Go.
They can let him walk.
Just let him go. For the love of my sanity.
They can just not give him a qualifying offer, and he'd be a UFA on July 1st. It's the same thing with Larson.
I'd rather have Larson.
I don't mind if they keep him. They can sign him to another one-year
deal. They
really
have three of the same player, Larson, Gergensen, Saboka.
Yeah.
Guys who can do things for you
defensively. They might be going next year where their fourth line is Larson, Wilson, Saboka.
I'd be cool with that.
I would be cool with that. That's fine. As long as you re-sign Skinner, as long as Mittelstadt grows, he's got to. Tage Thompson has to grow.
And now we have to see if Nylander can stick.
Yep.
Can he play well enough in these two games to stick?
It might not even just be two games.
That's what I'm saying. Can he play well enough for these two games that he sticks around?
Yeah. Because there's still 14 games left in the season, and even after Eichel comes back after two games, they may still keep him up the rest of the year to see if he can stick overall.
That's what I'm saying.
But
he has to play well enough in the two games. If he puts up a dud, you and I can both guarantee that if he stays in Buffalo, he's going to get the press box treatment.
Yeah, and he's going to get traded this offseason.
Yeah. This is Nylander's best shot.
By the way, I remember we talked about you made the offer of Nylander for Puljujarvi, as a trade two struggling prospects for each other, give them new starts. I am more and more on board with that as the days come. But Nylander's play could change my mind.
This is his best shot.
Yes.
At sticking in Buffalo.
And this is probably his last shot.
At sticking in Buffalo.
At sticking in Buffalo.
He's getting the top six role that we all want him to get. He's not playing on the fourth line.
And he's playing power play. He's on the second unit.
This is his best chance.
Yes.
Let's see what he can do with it.
Yes.
I'm excited. I want to see it. I'm hopeful. Am I an idiot for being hopeful? Maybe. The MAC tournament. UB Bulls.
They're up to 18.
18th ranked.
Yes.
The women's team got a 2 seed. Can we see more double bowl action in March? The ladies probably have to get to the finals to have their chance to go dancing. Whereas the men are ranked 18th. They're going to get in. But they're on a new quest for 30 wins. That's going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Tourney time's coming. Oh, yeah. One last thing. Frank, we've got a thing that is going on in July that we're taking part of.
Yes.
And let's tell the people a little more about it here with the 11-day power play. I have been asked to play once again on the WGR team for the 11-day power play. And our skate is from 3 to 6 p.m. at Harbor Center on July 10th. 12 hours later, after the end of my shift with Team WGR, Frank and I take the ice at 6 a.m. on July 11th. From 6 to 9 a.m., nice.
Yes.
And we're playing again with a couple of our friends. So I have it pinned on my Twitter page. Frank, I'd imagine, has done the same.
Mm-hmm.
I attended the captain's meeting, as a matter of fact, this past week for the 11-day power play. I got to meet some pretty cool people. I got to meet some of the people that have been affected with or benefited from Make-A-Wish and from Camp Good Days. And it was pretty cool to be there and to be there with a lot of the captains that are there for this year. It was a pretty awesome experience. And all I could say is everybody knows somebody that is affected by cancer. And we are raising funds in the most Buffalo way possible by playing hockey for 3 straight hours. For me, I'm playing 6 hours.
I'm probably doing it with
you. In 24 hours. Yeah, you might be.
I'm likely doing it with you, too.
And if Frank gets the go-ahead to join us in net as a rotation, well, Frank's going to be doing the same thing as me. Hockey is fun, and I think there's no more fun way to raise funds for something that is the least fun thing in the world, dealing with cancer. And one of our friends, one of our mentors when we were at Buffalo State, a guy who worked here at Entercom, in Tom Connolly, that's the kind of person that I'm playing for. That's the kind of person that everybody knows in their life. Is a guy who, would do anything for anyone. And that's not a joke. Tom Connolly routinely sent people home on holiday nights and took care of their station at the same time as BEN on the overnight. I'm asking you to hit us up on Twitter, at DerekKramer49 and at Frank R. Curie. Our pages are up for the 11-day power play. Please, please, please hit us up with some donations. Hit us up with anything you can do. Share it for us. Tweet it, retweet it. Share the link on your Facebook or on your Twitter. Do whatever you can. Because as much fun as we have on the podcast, doing anything, really, like I said, the least fun thing in the world is having to deal with you or a loved one dealing with cancer. And it sucks. It always does. So help us out. because you know that it hits home for everybody. Let's go ahead and raise more funds for cancer awareness and for programs to help those with cancer. And for funding, for cures and ways to treat it. Let's go get it. Let's kick cancer's ass and let's do it in the most Buffalo way possible by playing hockey. So help us out. It'd be great. At Derek Kramer 49 and at Frank R. Curie. And of course, be sure to stop over to see us literally 4 months from now, because today is the 11th of March. Literally 4 months from now. Make sure to catch us at Harbor Center. We'll be there twice. Not that hard to miss us. Thank you for listening to the Leftovers Podcast. I'm Derek Kramer.
I'm Frank R. Curie.
And, I mean, yeah, it was a little more of a downer note to end it on. But, once again, I will say something that I'm going to regret. Get my page to $1,000.
Same here.
And you will be able to force me to, on the podcast, have to eat broccoli.
Vegetables in general.
Nope, I've picked the vegetable.
It's going to be broccoli?
It's broccoli.
Okay.
Live on the podcast.
Okay.
Well, live on the podcast, but then you can just hear it back on the podcast.
Yeah.
Frank will probably live stream it or something like a jerk.
Yes.
We'll figure out something for Frank.
We still have to figure that out.
But all right. Thanks for listening.
Get both of our pages to $1,000.
Thanks for listening.
Don't even just have to be $1,000. Just get as much money as you can.
Get any help you can get.
Any help.
Great. Our goal is $1,000. Anything you can do for us is awesome. Thank you for listening to Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer.
Frank Curie.
And we have two games with no Jack Eichel. Hopefully, in the middle of those games, the Bills do something on free agency that starts on Wednesday to help us feel a little better.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.